Welcome to the Nightly Five podcast with Ben O'Shea.
On today's show, a family in tears as an accused murderer fronts court in Victoria. The Australian Defence Force has a new chief. We'll cross to Canberra to find out who Vice Admiral David Johnston is. Plus, the supermarket giants are still in the crosshairs. I'll give you the latest on that. And could this be the end for Dustin Martin in the AFL? We'll finish the show with some exciting news for fans of Bruce Springsteen and the Bears' Jeremy Allen White. And in our first story today, a 21-year-old has fronted Ballarat Magistrates Court charged with the murder of Hannah Maguire.
A man has been charged with murder after the body of a young teacher was found in a burnt-out car near Ballarat.
The father of a woman whose body was found inside that burnt-out car in bushland in northwestern Victoria has broken down in tears outside court today after an appearance by her alleged murderer. Lachlan Young, who's 21 years old, fronted Ballarat Magistrates Court charged with the murder of his former girlfriend, Hannah Maguire, who was just 23, in the Ballarat suburb of Sebastopol, about 120 kilometres northwest of Melbourne. Brooke Tamanica, a solicitor acting for Maguire's parents, said outside court that the family had been devastated by the death of the 23-year-old. Emergency crews found the body of Miss Maguire inside a vehicle near State Forest Road in Scarsdale about 10 a.m. on Friday morning after a loved one reported her missing earlier that day. Victoria Police executed three warrants at homes in Sebastopol on Sunday afternoon and arrested two men. A 22-year-old was released without charge. On Tuesday, Mr. Young, who has a blonde mullet hairstyle and a sleeve tattoo on his right arm, did not speak during the brief hearing at Ballarat Magistrates Court. His lawyer, Crystal Caruana, told the court it was her client's first time in custody and his mental health was declining. Police prosecutor Steve Rapak said there was CCTV, e-crime material and DNA evidence that needed to be analysed by investigators. Our Watch, Australia's leading advocacy body for the prevention of violence against women, has labelled the alleged murder of Miss Maguire a national tragedy. Mr. Young will next appear before court on September 19 for a committal mention. Protect the motherland. In the Navy. Come on and join your man. Australia's next Chief of the Defence Force will be the first from the Navy in more than 20 years. It's a major shake-up for our military's top brass. Here with more is Federal Politics reporter Dan Jervis-Bardi. Dan, who is Vice Admiral David Johnston?
Well, David Johnston is one of the most senior people in the ADF. He joined the Navy when he was just 16 in 1978. He spent almost half a century since working his way up through ultimately now to the most senior position in our Defence Force. So it was announced today by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and Defence Minister Richard Marles that Vice Admiral Johnston will be the successor to General Angus Campbell, who'll be the one in charge of the military. So it's been clearly a lifelong journey for him from like I said, as a 16-year-old, and now he's here with the most senior position in our Defence Force.
Yeah, and Albo described Vice Admiral Johnston as someone who had the experience, intellect and resolve to steer the ADF through, and these are Albo's words, a complex and rapidly changing global strategic environment. Is that political speak for shit's getting real with AUKUS?
With AUKUS is one of those things. I think this reference to these really complex and changing global strategic environment, it certainly is sort of military speak, but it's a reference to the fact that there's tensions in the region. We know that China is becoming sort of increasingly is a presence and wanting to expand its presence in the region. So that's one factor. We know that there's conflicts in Europe, obviously in Ukraine at the moment. There's one in the Middle East, in Gaza. It's often referenced that these are the most sort of unstable, volatile conditions since World War II. And, that was a reference from the Prime Minister that whoever takes this job is going to guide the military through this period of real volatility. And Vice Admiral Johnston, as someone who spent his entire working life essentially in this, is well placed to do that. So Yes, to cut a long story short, it is a reference to shit getting real. And the Prime Minister certainly thinks that he's picked the right person to be able to guide us through that.
You mentioned volatility. Obviously, with a new defence chief means the previous one is departing, and the volatility that General Angus Campbell dealt with during the 6 years he was in the role was really a lot closer to home at times. It was a tumultuous tenure. How do you think Angus Campbell's legacy will be written?
I suppose, you know, as is the case with all of these things, it depends who you talk to. I think as we reflect on his 6 years in charge, there was some, you know, obviously it coincided with the end of the conflict in Afghanistan. I think most notably, like you said, there was issues close to home, the Afghanistan war crimes inquiry, the spotlight that put on the culture of the Defence Force, in particular the SAS. We know that there's been a Royal Commission into suicides in among veterans. So I think, like you said, I think he'll be remembered as someone who was in charge at a time of, you know, whether the spotlight was really put on the culture of defence, but also the way in which defence treated its veterans. And I think both of those things are going to be things that Vice Admiral Johnston is going to have to, you know, it's neither of those things are finished. It's an ongoing task, and it's something that he's going to have to be very conscious of and doing ongoing work. So I think, as always, it'll be a sort of mixed legacy for General Campbell. I think different people reflect on him in different ways, but certainly he was a polarising figure for some, and it'll be interesting to see the way that history writes, you know, remembers his time.
Indeed, and it'll be interesting to see how Vice Admiral David Johnston goes in the years to come. Federal politics reporter Dan Jervis-Barty, thanks as always for joining us on the Nightly Five.
Thanks, mate. Down, down, down. Prices are down.
Well, maybe prices aren't going down enough. I think that's the problem here, because bosses of the nation's biggest supermarkets will face the Senate in a matter of days in some of the most highly anticipated public hearings in years. The Senate Committee Examining Supermarket Prices will hold another three public hearings on Thursday and again for 2 days from Monday, April 15. The Senate today disclosed that representatives from Woolworths and Coles are scheduled to appear next Tuesday, April 16. Chief Executives Brad Banducci, the outgoing boss of Woolies, and Leah Weckert from Coles have committed to appearing in person to give evidence. The committee, chaired by Green Senator Nick McKim, is investigating the price-setting practices and market power of the major supermarkets amid accusations they are price gouging and using the cover of high inflation to push shelf prices higher, as well as mistreating suppliers. Both supermarkets deny these suggestions and, in submissions to the inquiry, said their profit margins were particularly skinny. Now, regular listeners will have heard on the show yesterday that said margins are almost double what equivalent supermarket chains make in the UK. So we'll see how that line of logic flies in the public hearings. The hearings come just days after the release of an interim review of the Supermarket Code of Practice, which recommended stronger fines for breaches and making the code mandatory. It's fair to say the big supermarkets are squarely in the crosshairs during the current cost of living crisis. The Queensland government is also conducting a review, while similar moves are being debated in South Australia and Victoria. The federal opposition is also formulating proposals that could break up the supermarket giants if they misuse their market power, while the Greens want Australian competition law to include powers of divestiture. Based on Brad Banducci's last public interview, grab your popcorn, folks, because this Senate hearing is must-see viewing.
Richmond, D. Martin, three votes. I declare the winner of the 2017 Brownlow Medal, Dustin Martin of the Richmond Football Club.
That was Richmond superstar Dusty Martin winning a Brownlow, a highlight of a glittering career that has also been plagued with off-field issues. But is the Tiger favourite about to give Punt Road the punt mid-season? Sports editor at The Nightly, Ben McClellan, is with me in the studio. Ben, is Dusty riding off into the sunset?
According to his management, no. There was a bit of speculation around from the Melbourne press pack, one journalist in particular, actually, that he understood that Martin was considering, you know, leaving the Tigers and leaving the AFL mid-season. But Martin's camp, his manager, was quick to hose that down today, saying that's definitely not the case, and Martin's heart is definitely still in it. He will front up for the Tigers, who are struggling. You know, they've only enjoyed one win over my Sydney Swans. Martin was injured for that. So, yeah, he's been plagued by injuries coming into this season. It'll be unclear how many games he ends up playing and what sort of impact he has. That audio from 2017 was obviously when he was at the peak of his powers, but that does feel like quite a long time ago.
Oh, long time ago. Mm. And he has walked away from the game before.
Yes.
For his own mental health. And so it's certainly not the boldest prediction to suggest that he could pull a pin mid-season.
Could go north.
Do you think? Well, that's what I was going to say. Do you think there's any chance that he might not actually retire as a Tiger and could, you know, so have his last hurrah at a different club?
Yes, he could go off into the sunset and become a sun.
like many Victorians have their retirement at the Gold Coast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Damien Hardwick, you know, his former coach at Richmond, we know they're thick as thieves. Hardwick's done well to recruit quite a few former Richmond Tigers to join him up there at the Suns. They've, you know, had mixed results, but have started pretty strongly for the season. So, you know, if they have a better season than Richmond, I'm sure the Suns will throw everything at him, golden kitchen sink included, to get Dusty to come north. It'd obviously be a massive coup. Martin might decide it's a quieter life for him. I mean, there's, you know, he's got a much better chance rocking around the Sunset Strip on the Gold Coast, particularly with all his tats, so he definitely will fit in. And maybe being a little bit more incognito than he would be around the streets of Melbourne, where, you know, obviously it'd be very difficult for him to go anywhere without being mobbed.
Well, you know, you've led an interesting life when you moved to the Gold Coast for a quieter life. And now let's talk NRL and the cluster. You know what that is, South Sydney at the moment.
The responsibility the senior players have right now for the coach's future. How do you feel about that?
Oh, we all got his back. No one likes winning. No one likes losing, sorry. No one likes losing. And, we're just in one of them patches, mate. We're looking forward, and it's all about this next job.
That's Rabbitoh star Jack Whiten speaking today about the dramas at the club. They're 1-5 on the season. The sirens you heard in the background of that grab is probably the Ambos coming to take away Jason Demetriou, because his coaching career appears to be on life support if you listen to the Sydney media.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's fascinating that within, you know, I don't know, 24 to 48 hours, it's gone from, you know, speculation that he might be in trouble to essentially who's going to take over by next Monday.
He's gone from sitting on the hot seat to apparently sitting on the ejector seat. And people are bashing the button.
So that was Jack Whiten, who's you know, a new recruit to South. He's only come over from Canberra. He's a cousin with Latrell Mitchell. They're very close. They ended up, you know, they got in some strife and were arrested in Canberra and subsequently vindicated during a court case. And so Whiten was you know, pretty on the defensive, as you would imagine. It was a fairly tense sort of press conference when you're 1-5. Everyone thinks your coach is going to be sacked and you're one of the star players who isn't doing enough. The other thing we learned today was apparently Latrell Mitchell, who was pictured looking quite relaxed at training, has apologised to his teammates over the situation he's put them in. So Latrell obviously has had a host of off-field issues, but on the field he had, you know, a shocker last weekend. You know, some very dangerous conduct in terms of tackling. He ended up with a 3-game ban. So, you know, it's really the worst period that he could be out. Souths are playing Cronulla on the weekend. And, yeah, again, as we've said here, that, yeah, there's speculation that if they lose this one, that could be it. You know, but stranger things have happened in rugby league. We are only, you know, 6 or 7 rounds in. And if they were to sack Demetriou after this week, you know, who Ben Hornby, who is an assistant coach there, might take over for the rest of the season. There's talk of Wayne Bennett coming back, Sam Burgess. There's even a bit of talk this morning about Adrian Lamb, who's a former Sydney Rooster, who's coaching in the lower levels, who's pretty keen to have a go. So, yeah, look, it's anyone's game, but I'm sure by the end of the week there'll be at least another 3 or 4 coaches who will be in line to take the job.
And if they lose to the Sharks, oh my gosh.
Yes.
Deary
me. Blood in the water.
Blood in the waters, indeed. The sports editor of the Nightly, Ben McClellan, thanks as always for giving us an update.
Thank you.
The boss himself, Bruce Springsteen, is set to get the biopic treatment, joining the ranks of Queen with Bohemian Rhapsody, Elton John with Rocketman, Bob Marley with One Love, and Amy Winehouse posthumously with Back to Black. Let's ignore the irony that Springsteen's biopic is about the same bloke who once sung about the sad tendency of people to wallow in their glory days, because the new film will probably star none other than Jeremy Allen White from The Bear.
Don't wipe your hands on your apron, Chef.
Jeff.
Chef.
You stir that pot for me, please,
yes, Chef.
Do you take my knife, Chef?
Did you take my pot, Chef?
Take my money already. Yes, Jeremy Allen White is in talks to star as the legendary rocker in a film directed by Scott Cooper, who won Jeff Bridges an Oscar for the musical film Crazy Heart. Cooper's new movie is based on Warren Zane's 2023 book Deliver Me From Nowhere, The Making of Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska. And as the title suggests, the movie will be about the making of that classic Springsteen record. For those who came in late, Nebraska was released in 1982 when the singer was in a pretty dark place, battling depression. He laid down the songs on a four-track recorder, intending for them to be demos to play later with his E Street Band, but then the boss decided to release it as it is. It was very different from his previous albums and was a very solemn affair, but has since gone on to be considered one of Springsteen's finest works, even if it is one of the most challenging albums ever made by a major artist on a major label. Fun fact, he refused to tour the record when it was released because the work was too personal. The boss and his longtime manager John Landau will be involved with the film. So like the other biopics I mentioned, the chances are this won't exactly be a warts and all examination. Then again, if any artist is comfortable with the harsh light of self-reflection, it's probably Springsteen. So maybe we'll get something worthy of his status as a songwriting goat after all. And that, folks, is today's show. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and join me tomorrow on The Nightly Five.
The Nightly Five podcast is brought to you by Seven West Media. For all these stories and more, head to thenightly.com.au, helping you get in front of tomorrow.